Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why did Jesus come? What did he teach? What did the apostles teach? Why was it so important that the Son of God come in the flesh and be made just like us? Well, as we saw in Psalm the 8th chapter, it says, "For you have made man a little lower than God." Now, the King James says angels, but that's not correct. The word for angels is malak. The word there in the Hebrew is Elohim, which is God. Why did God make us a little lower than him? What is the purpose? Well, that's the whole reason as to why you were born. From a speck of dust to a son of God, the sonship of God. But how do we enter into that sonship? Let's come to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and let's see where we are in this world, because you see, this world has another God. And the Bible identifies him as Satan the devil, the adversary. And he has many counterfeits out there. And he likes to get involved into leading people astray. He likes to get involved in keeping people in bondage to sin, in bondage to him. And bondage is that you dedicate your life to going against the commandments of God. And there are varying degrees of bondage. And so Jesus came to free us from that bondage, to save us from Satan the devil, to save us from ourselves and our own sins. So Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, tells us an awful lot about this. And what then do we have to do to respond to God? And how does that fit into the sonship of God? And what does that mean for why you were born and your ultimate destiny? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 1. "Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world." We all live according to the way that the world is. And there are many different societies and many different religions and many different things that people have, and all of these have been set up under the inspiration of Satan the devil. So if you hear someone say, "Well, all religions are leading to the same place," that's true, but not to salvation. Because, see, salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, we need to understand that. That's why God has sent the Bible, which is God's personal message to you. But if you don't open it and read it, and if you don't cry out to God for understanding, then that's your fault. God caused you to have a Bible. So let's see the purpose in sending it to you, and the purpose in life, and what God wants you to do to respond to him, to enter into the status of sonship with God. Now, continuing in verse 2, "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the sons of disobedience." That's Satan the devil. That is the spirit of this world. That is the spirit of bondage. And if we're in the world, part and parcel with the world, and doing as the world, then we are not with God. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "Enter in at the straight gate, for narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few be that find it." Why? They are not willing to give up the way of the world. They're not willing to give up their sin. So you have to come to God in repentance. You have to recognize that this is where you are. Unless you repent to God the Father in Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven through the blood of Christ. And then You have to go beyond that first step. It's kind of like a lifelong journey. Have you arrived if you've taken the first step, two or three? No, you've got the whole walk, don't you? Yes, indeed. And we will see how that applies to us and what that has to do with the sonship of God. Now notice verse 3. We have to admit this. We all have to admit we've been part of the world. We've been part of the system. We have sinned. We have transgressed the commandments of God. And to understand that when you are by yourself alone, it just no one else around, and it's just you. What you think, what you are, that's who you really are. And God knows that. And God calls us all to repentance. Now notice, we have to admit this, verse 3. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. You see, there in Revelation 18, it says to the people of God concerning the world, which God labels as Babylon the Great, he says, come out of her, my people, that you do not be partakers of her sins. Have you come out of the world? Have you repented to God? Are you wanting your life to be turned around? You look at your life and you see it's a terrible mess. And how do I get it squared around? How do I change? You've got to come to God the Father in Jesus Christ. And you've got to come repentant. You have to come abhorrent of your sins. And God will forgive your sins and save you from your sins. And those are the first steps to the sonship of God. Now notice, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. Grace is the whole umbrella of our relationship with God. This is the first part of grace. Having been saved through faith because you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe God the Father, you believe the Word of God. And then always remember this, when you have faith and belief, action must follow. Action related to the Spirit of God, the laws of God, the commandments of God, the Word of God, as led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's read on. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is especially not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not what you do without God that saves you. As we're going to see, it's what you do with God, God's way, that saves you. You can't save yourself from Satan the devil alone. That has to be a gift of God through his grace. Verse 9, not of works, not of what you do. But there are works we're going to see in just a minute, because you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, as we have seen, without the works of God. Not of works, so that no one may boast. Now notice verse 10, because this is the key thing into understanding the continuing relationship of the sonship of God between you and God the Father, so you can enter into the family of God, and we'll talk about how you do that as we go along. You've heard it said that we are a new creation in Christ. Now what does that mean? Verse 10 explains it. God is doing something with his Spirit in you and through you, which is called the process of conversion, to change your heart, to change your mind, to convert you so that with the Spirit of God, you can love him and walk in his ways. Just like we are the workmanship of God through the begettal and conception process and birth to be human beings, likewise, when we receive the Spirit of God, that is a begettal from God, and then we have to grow and develop in the way that God wants and God's Spirit working in us. So let's read it here. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, salvation is creation. And salvation then puts you into the status of sonship with God for his great purpose, for his great destiny, for why you were here, why were you born, where are you going, see? God is working with us. He's creating within us through unto good works. Now, what are good works? Why does it say not of works in verse 9, but says unto good works in verse 10? What does that mean? Well, verse 9 means works of your own self. Without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, just you yourself by your own works. You are of flesh, you are subject to death, you cannot give yourself eternal life, and you are a sinner by nature, and so none of your works without the Spirit of God cannot save you. However, with the Spirit of God, then we have his workmanship. He is working in us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What are the good works? The works of the Spirit, of love and faith and hope and joy and temperance and control and mercy and kindness and goodness. Against such there is no law. But also, what are the good works? The commandments of God. Keeping the commandments of God with God's Spirit from within. See, most people view the commandments of God as this. They are out here. And it's kind of like a fence, and they tell us what to do and what not to do. That can motivate us to do certain things concerning the commandments of God. But God wants it entirely differently because he's creating in us. He wants us to love him from within, not because he commands us. He wants us to obey him because we're motivated from the workmanship of Christ within us to do it, you see. Now notice, unto good works that God ordained beforehand, that is in God's plan, God's purpose, God's calling, in order that we might walk in them. Because you see, the only way you have a sonship relation with God the Father and Jesus Christ is walking in the way of the Lord. In loving God, keeping his commandments, and walking in his way. Now let's see how Paul put this, so that we can understand exactly how we grow in grace and knowledge, we overcome sin, we live in the world and are not part of the world, but we do the things that please God because we can. Let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote about concerning walking in the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? Since you're fleshly, how do you walk in the Spirit? By God's Spirit within us. And we're going to see how Paul defines this. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 4. In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not doing away with the laws of God, but bringing them into our hearts and in our minds, see. The righteousness of the law. What is the true righteousness of the law? What we've already covered. The love of God, the Spirit of God within us, and keeping the commandments of God motivated from within rather than directed to us from without. Might be fulfilled in us. Now notice, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There it is. Like in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, that we might walk in them, walking in the Spirit. That means you must have the Spirit of God within you. Walking in the flesh means you're walking as the rest of the world, carnal, carnal-minded, enmity against God. See, when you come to Christ and repent. When you come to God the Father and ask Him to forgive your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and then you enter into the covenant of baptism, receive the Spirit of God within you, then you're to come up out of that watery grave, receive the Spirit of God, and walk in newness of life, being the workmanship of God to walk in the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who walk according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh. If you're in the world and everything's physical and everything is there, and you don't care about why you're here, where you're going, you just want to do what you want to do or whatever it may be, tending to just the physical things in life, you're walking according to the flesh. And to walk according to the flesh means you don't have the Spirit of God. Now continuing, but those who walk according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit, because you have the Spirit of God. See, God has, in His plan, ordained what you must do with the Spirit of God, to walk in the way of God. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice the difference. Notice the contrast. Before, being carnal minded, you're under the power of the prince of the power of this air, Satan the devil, who's deceiving the whole world. And you're living your life in deceit. Now, maybe there are degrees of truth within that deceit, but those things do not guarantee that you know God or love God or understand about God's plan, you see. So those in the world cannot know. They cannot understand. That's why there are so many different religions and ways that men think of God. And that's why there are problems within Christianity in the world, because, you see, they profess, but they do not do. They say that they love God, but they don't keep His commandments at Sabbath and holy days. They say they love God, but they're not willing to obey Him. That's all carnal-minded religion. Now let's go on here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now, let me tell you the clue of a carnal-friendly Christianity. Do you know what it is? It is this. Christ came to abolish the law. That is a carnal-friendly Christianity. Christ never came to do that. We just read here that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us from the inside out. That's what it means to be walking in the Spirit. That's the difference between living in the world under the deception of Satan the devil, many people thinking that they are Christian and they are not, many ministers preaching out of the Bible but not preaching the truth, and you can identify carnal-friendly Christianity, whenever a minister says the law has been done away. That is a lie. There is no such thing as that. And all of the Bible and New Testament testify to that fact. Now let's read on. Verse 8. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Isn't that something? Can you please God? A lot of people say, well, no man can please God. Really? Is that what the Bible teaches? Let's come here to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and let's see something very important, because you can please God. But it takes His Spirit. It takes being spiritually minded. You understand what that means? Spiritually minded means you have the begettal of the Spirit of God uniting the spirit of man that is within you with the Spirit of God that He gives you, just much like you were conceived in your mother's womb. the sperm from the father united with the egg of your mother, and you were conceived. Likewise, when you received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father is likened to the seed of God, the seed of eternal life, the seed of sonship, so that we are his very children. Now, we'll see that as we go along, but let's talk about how we can please God first. Because with the Spirit of God, you can. If Christ is recreating in you the very image of Christ in your mind, if God's Spirit is working with you and the workmanship is creating in you, the faith of God, the love of God, the hope of God, following the truth of God, keeping the commandments of God, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving the brethren as Christ has loved us, all of that is spiritual. And all of that comes from God. With that, we can please God. Now notice, verse 21, "Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God." Now, if our hearts condemn us, that means we have sinned and we need to repent. And God will forgive us. But notice verse 22. Think of this now. Now, what I want you to do in your prayers and in your coming to understand about the Word of God, I want you to claim these promises from God. Now, here's one, most important for us. Verse 22, "And whatever we may ask, we receive," notice, "because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight." Can you please God? Yes, indeed. "And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as he gave his commandments." Do you do that? See, everything that God does, and you cannot have the sonship of God without, first of all, the love of God. The love of the Father, the love of Jesus Christ, your love to God, God's love to you. You're crying out to God through prayer, learning of God's way through study, yielding to God to have God's Spirit grow and develop in your mind and in your heart and create in you the kind of son or daughter that God wants in his plan of sonship. See, that's all there. Verse 24, "And the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he is dwelling in us by the Spirit which he has given to us." And that's the heart and core of the sonship of God. Question. Can we live in sin if we are walking in the Spirit? No. Do we sin because of human nature we need to overcome? Yes, indeed. And we'll see how the Spirit of sonship gives us the ability to repent of those things and to overcome them. Now, back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 8 says, "But those who are in the flesh cannot please God," because it's from the outside trying to do certain things, whether they're even righteous in the letter. You cannot please God because you cannot get rid of human nature of and by yourself what you do, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see? It has to be of the Spirit of God. Now notice, verse 9. Notice how important this is, and we will see how this figures into the sonship of God and why you were made a little lower than God in God's plan and purpose. Verse 9, "However, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Now, let's just look at that a little bit here. God is the one who is doing the calling. We have to answer the call. God is the one who has sent his word. We have to read and study it. God is the one who sent Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice for us. We have to believe in his name and repent and accept the forgiveness of sin on God's terms. Then we have to enter into covenant with baptism, and then we have to have the Holy Spirit of God, because without the Holy Spirit of God within us, we do not belong to him. Now, there may be many people who have the Spirit of God with them because they're seeking God, but they need to be led to the point of repentance and baptism so they can receive the Spirit of God within them. Now, that's the thing that is the substance of the sonship of God and answers the question, why was I born? Where am I going? What am I doing? Does God love me? Does he have a plan for me? And the answer is, yes, he does. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have hundreds of sermons, in-depth Bible studies, up-to-date news on prophecy. And there you can read my monthly letter every month. And be sure and tune in to Church at Home. So until next time, so long, everyone.